Right. We're on Daf Lamed today, okay? So the top line on Lamed Amar Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Now the Gemara had a homachlok at Amoraim in yesterday's Daf about, you know, mixtures related to chametz. So the top line on Lamed Amar Aleph 38, the top line, Amar Rava Hilchato Chametz Bizmano. Chametz Bizmano means it's chametz during Pesach. Chametz Bizmano, Bein Bimino, Bein Shlo Bimino, Asur Mashu. Where it's min bimino would be, let's say I ground up like a piece of wheat that had contact with water, and it's like chametz stick flour, and I put it with non-chametz stick flour, and then I bake it. That would be min bimino. He says, bein bimino, bein shlo bimino, or if it's, you know, let's say the chametz flour with, let's say, coconut, you know, crushed coconut, asur b'mashu karav. So it's asur b'mashu karav. It means any infinitesimal amount of chametz will aser the mixture. Then shlo bizmano, but if it's chametz shlo bizmano means chametz would be with after Pesach. So he says bein bimino bein shlo bimino mutar. Then it's mutar, and we'll explain shortly. But so he says that means chametz after Pesach, if it's in a mixture, is mutar. It means chametz shavar lava pesach is mutar if it's mixtured. So ki Rebbe Shimon, like the Tana Reb Shimon. Now, if you remember, Reb Shimon is the one, remember, and we had this in Shabbos' daf, Reb Shimon holds that that there's no Yisur in the Torah for chametz after Pesach. That's the way Reb Shimon holds. And then that was on Chaf Chet. And then on Chaf Tet, we learned that the Tana Reb Shimon holds on a Drabanan level, though, there's a penalty that chametz shavar lo pesasur. So the Gemara says on line 4, on Lamed Amar Aleph, Umiya Rava Ahachi, did Rava really say this? Vama Rava, Reb Shimon Knasa Kanis, Hova Orlaba Chob Valyar Bayimatse. So what do you mean that Reb Shimon says like a mixture of chametz after Pesach is not asur, but Rava himself, Paskins, says that Reb Shimon said there's a rabbinic penalty for chametz shavar lava pesach. So the Gemara says, Hani mila be'ene. So it means if the chametz is there, I'm looking at the chametz, it's not mixed in with anything, then it's subject to this, you know, this penalty of chametz shavar lava pesach. Aval al yidei taruvet lo. But if it's in a mixture, then there is no Easter with it. Okay, let's just summarize what we did for a few lines, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the first yisod is that chametz during Pesach is asur with a mashu, that any infinitesimal amount of chametz asters everything, which is very difficult. It's very chamur, but that's the din. You know, if there's a hotel and a worker comes in with some beer during Pesach and he drops, you know, a drop of the beer goes into whatever, the stew or the soup or anything like that, so it's all prohibited. That's a mashu of chametz. Even though the soup could be, you know, 30 gallons of soup and there's, you know, one drop of beer, that's all prohibited. And then after Pesach, so we said that chametz after Pesach is prohibited, but that's only be'ene, only if it's like the chametz by itself. But if it's taruvas chametz, so then after Pesach, that's permissible. Okay, who's got questions? Wait. Okay, let me do three more lines. I'll stop at the two dots. Okay, so around six lines down on Lamed Amar Aleph 38. Okay, six lines down. Okay, so it says V'az the Rava Latame. Rava follows his own Svara. The Amar Rava. Rava said Ki Avinan Be Rav Nachman. When we were in the base measure of Rav Nachman, Ki Avu Nafki Shiva Yemei De Pischa. When the 7 days of Pesach had passed. It's interesting because Rav and Rav Nachman live in Babel, and he refers to 7 days of Pesach. So I guess either that they knew which day Rosh Chodesh was, otherwise it's hard for me to understand why it would be 7 days, not 8 days. But it must be that the Shluchim must have gotten there, and they knew which day was Rosh Chodesh. He says, Ki avu nafki shivi me yomit pescha. Amarlan, he, Rav Nachman, said to us, Puku v'zabinu chamira d'bnei chela. Go out and buy chametz from the soldiers, from the non-Jewish soldiers. So the idea being that that Rava follows the shita of Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon holds that the chametz of a non-Jew, shavar lava pesach, is mutar. So therefore, he said, go out and you could buy the chametz from the soldiers. In other words, non-Jewish owned bread, you could buy it because he, Rava, is following Reb Shimon. And that's what we said, that Rava was following Reb Shimon. But Reb Shimon himself says, if it's chametz shabar lava pesach, it's owned by a Jew, then there's a rabbinic penalty involved. Now, let me just mention one point. If you look at the Rashi, the 10th narrow line of Rashi, b'din chela, nachrim af pi sha'ofeu yom ze sha'avar v'hu pesach, means even though they had baked it on Pesach, it's still permissible. So none of the Mepharshim get into the issue, but if that's parachim, right? That's bread that's baked by a non-Jew. So some want to say Rashi doesn't mean they actually baked it. It means that they had dough and the Jews are buying the dough. Or else another pshat is it was like a pot palter, like a commercial bread, and there's a heter, you know, to buy pot palter. Okay, so who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Hey, what's up, Fern? Let me hear you.
Is the issue of amashahu on Pesach rendering it, you can't touch it because the onesh is kare? Is that how we get there?
Yeah, so I think some want to say like that. Some want to say it's a davar sheish lo matirin, right? There's different, in Rishonim have different svaras for why chametz is asur with amashu on Pesach.
Because it has a shak kosher?
No. So let's go. Right. So Dava, right. So someone would say, like the Gemara learns, it's a Dava Sheish Lamatirim. In other words, Chametz is prohibited now, but it's clearly permissible after Pesach. So that's like a Dava Sheish Lamatirim. So a Dava Sheish Lamatirim, that's Filu Be'elef Lobatil. It has no beetle for it. So, but I think others get into, like, others also speak about what you're saying about that the fact that it is an Easter karate, that's also something that comes into play.
Okay, what's the punishment for basar b'chalav generally?
For basar b'chalav?
Yes.
You mean for eating or benefiting? It's just you're over on a lav.
Right. So it's right. Not a karate. So this is special. So,
yeah, I assume since it's a lav sheish b'masas, I assume you'd be chay malkot. Okay, b'mezid. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Yesterday, during the Daf, Lieber Cohen raised the same question about the 7 days because it was in Bavel. And Odette Weiss found some discussion about it. I don't know what Sefer he was reading from. But I thought what he said was that at this particular time period, they didn't observe the extra day. But you ought to speak to Odette because he found someone commented on this exactly.
So I don't know which Gemara Lieber was referring to or Rabbi Lieber was speaking.
Odette.
No, but I'm saying you said it came up in the Gemara yesterday, right?
Yeah, he raised the same point you did, which
but
is
I'm saying
7 days.
What the Gemara mentioned, observe, where did the Gemara mention having 7 days of Pesach in yesterday's Gemara?
Maybe they did this yesterday.
Studying with Rav Nachman's house on the evening when the 7 days of Passover had passed.
No, but you did this Gemara yesterday or not?
Yeah.
Oh, you did this Gemara yesterday.
So I
think it's the same thing as what I'm saying. In other words, if they didn't know what day Pesach, they would have observed 8 days. But if the shluchim, if the messengers from the Beis Din got there, then they would have observed 7 days. In other words,
you want to speak to him because he found. But Michael, were you on yesterday with this?
We can't hear anything you're saying, Michael.
No, I had clipped out earlier.
Okay. Yeah, Robert.
Here. He found some section about it.
Okay. But the only thing that I think that makes sense, it was, which is what I was saying. In other words, the Beis Din declared it was before the Luach. That's when they're living. So before the Luach, so if you knew when day Rosh Chodesh was, you observe 7 days. You don't know when Rosh Chodesh is, you observe 8 days. So presumably they knew what time Rosh Chodesh was. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. All right.
You should speak to him.
Anyway. All right. So any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay. So I'm going on now. Okay. So we're on Lamed Amud Aleph around the 8th line down near the two dots. Okay. So Amar Rav, Kederot B'Pesach Yishavru. So Rav says Kederot B'Pesach means you have chametz stick pots that are earthenware pots. Chametz stick earthenware pots. And now Rav is saying that when Pesach comes, I'm going to have to break them, and they're not even usable after Pesach. He says, "V'yamai lishinu achar Pesach, blabehu shlo b'minan." Says, "Why can't I leave these pots for?" Let's do the Rashi on this on the 12th, you know, narrow midway down on the narrow lines in Rashi. So Amar Rav, Kedir Pesach Yishavru. Rav Latame Damar Achami Safla Charizmano Surbana Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav is following the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chamei Sachar Pesach is Asr Midoraisa. So he's holding that the Chametz that was owned by Jew during Pesach is prohibited from the Torah. He says, V'itluhu b'mashuhu. And he also holds that a mashuv Chametz is going to be the kiss of death, any amount of Chametz. He says, V'ksavar notin tam lefgam asur. And he holds also, notin tam lefgam is if I have a taste has been absorbed into the pot, after 24 hours, it gives a rancid taste to it. So he holds that notin tam lefgam is also prohibited. Those are the things he holds. So Rashi says, Halacha does not follow Rav for two reasons. He says, Charad uki rabba hilchata the taruvit lacharzmano mutar, kirib shimon. Rabba said that a taruvis, we just did above, the mixture of chametz and non-chametz after Pesach is permissible. Bahai pachut mi taruvitu. And this is like even less than a taruvis. In other words, that's what Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying to me today. In other words, if it's absorbed in the walls of the pot, that's even like less than what you call a taruvis. But oh, the kaimelan notes tamlif gamutar. We hold, no, if it gives like a negative taste, it's mutar. So Rav is following Shito that we don't hold la halacha, right? He's holding that taruvis is prohibited and that notin tam lefgam is asur. So those are the things that he holds that we don't hold that way. But let's see back on the Gemara. Amar Rav, k'tir Pesach yishavru. Says that the k'tirot, the pots on Pesach, the chametz stick pots, have to be broken if they're earthenware. But my lishinu achar Pesach v'labi b'hu shlo b'minan. So why can't I delay it, you know, after Pesach, and I'll use the pot shlo b'minan? He says now Rashi brings down that Rav concedes that chamish shlo b'zmano shlo b'mino. He says is b'mashu is mutar. He says, so this is like shlo b'mino with a mashu Rav holds is permissible shlo b'mino. He says, so why can't I hold these pots after Pesach and I'll cook it shlo b'minan? In other words, not the min, not the same type as the chametz that was cooked in it. Zera dema atu l'mebadu b'mino. So he holds not that way. He holds it's zera. We can't low shlo b'mino because he may come to do b'mino. Ushmul amar, Shmuel holds, and this is the way we hold the halach l'maisa, lo yishavru, that the pots, that earthenware pots, should not be broken. He says, aval mashi luhu l'achar zmano. You'll wait till after the Zman, after Pesach, but Abid Behu, Bein Bemino, Bein Shlo Bemino. In other words, you'll take the Chametz stick pots, and then after Pesach, you'll be allowed to use the Chametz stick pots. But as the Shmuel Atame, Shmuel goes like a Shita, the Amar Shmuel, Lano the Zabne Kande, to these people who were selling pots. Ashu Zvinea Kandaichi, in other words, you have to lower the prices for your pots. He says, V'ilo darshin lehu k'Reb Shimon. He says, I'm going to darshin to everybody like the Tana Reb Shimon, who I hold like. And Reb Shimon holds that the old k'derit are permissible after Pesach. That's the way Shmuel holds. He says, it was, again, remember Reb Shimon held that on a Torah level, there's no prohibition on Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. And it's only prohibited on a Drabanan level. But any taruvis is permissible. In addition to which Rashi already said, it's like a notin tam lefgam. So it's mikam stadim, you have heter there. He says, so the Gemara says, v'lidrosh lahu lahad lahu dahashmul k'rib shimon svirle. So why didn't he darshan that way? And it was Shmuel holds like Rib Shimon. Was he holding back? If you don't lower the price, I'm going to darshan like Rib Shimon. But Shmuel holds like Rib Shimon. So Atrei Rav Hava. So that was like the district where Rav held sway. I think Rav was in Sura, so it must have been like maybe the area of Sura. So he didn't want to go darshan, you know, against the way Rav held, because Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda. But he said if these guys weren't going to lower the price, he threatened that he was going to darshan like Shmuel. Okay, so again, so we're saying that if you have chametz, which has been absorbed in the dofnei hakderot, in other words, in the walls of the pot, and it's an earthenware vessel, so Shmuel says you don't have to break it and destroy it. After Pesach, you can use the earthenware vessel because, again, so if a little mashu comes out, so So taruvus chametz will be, you know, permissible, and it's also a tam pagum. It's a pam pagum. It's another sad heter for it. All right. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far?
Rabbi, these pots were used to cook chametz on Pesach. That's the case.
No. They were used to cook chametz before Pesach. But there's chametz that's balua in it. In other words, in the walls of the pot, there's chametz. In other words, right. they clean the pot, but the chametz, the pot is engorged with chametz.
Okay.
And when I use the pot after Pesach, some of that tam chametz is going to go out
come
and
out.
I'm cooking with it. So Rav held certain chumras. Rav held that that chametz after Pesach is aser doraisa. And even Masha, who mixing in with anything, will aster it. That's the way Rav held. And Rav also held that it's that a tam pagum is aster it.
So Rav would want you to buy new pots completely
right.
after every Pesach?
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. Earthenware pots.
That's all they had, earthenware pots back then.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Didn't they have matecha?
Yeah, they had metal also. Okay.
You could sell your pots also, though, right?
How's that going to help you?
No.
That's not going to help you.
No. Selling only makes it worse. Again, Rav holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, which the way I recall, we said that he holds that even if the chametz is owned by a non-Jew over
it's also
prohibited. But in addition to which, when you sell the pots and you have to tovel them again afterwards, it doesn't help the situation, it only makes it worse. Okay, Michael, what do you have for me? Do you want to say something? No. Okay.
When we sell our chametz now, are we selling our pots?
No. We don't sell our pots, but there's a clause in the Shtar Mechira. It says that we sell the chametz, which is davuk to the pots in the kalim. In other words, even the chametz, which is clinging to the pots, there's a clause in the Shtar Mechira that we're selling that as well, but not the pots. No, we don't sell the pots. Okay.
But this is quite wild that Shmuel said, if you don't stop price gouging, I'm going to change the psak halacha.
Well, no. He's not going to change. He's going to announce.
Yes, because this was Rav's territory.
It was Rav's territory, but he would announce like his own shita.
He's not. That's not his jurisdiction.
Well, that's what he was threatening them with. What can I tell you?
Isn't that odd?
Well, it's I don't know, to right the wrong. I don't know. That's the way he's going with it. I don't know what.
So they had all these machlokot between Rav and Shmuel from different jurisdictions.
Shmuel's in one place and Rav's in another place, and they each had their own opinion. That's right. I'm going to move on. Okay, now the Gemara has touched on.
I just think of them fighting at a table.
I don't think they're the type to fight. They were mechabed each other very much. Okay, all right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right. Okay, now we're 5 lines from the bottom on Lamed Amud Aleph, 30A, 5 lines from the bottom. Now, we touched on the topic, you know, inherent in the previous conversation is that you can't kosher clay cheres. Because if you could kosher it, then Rav wouldn't say you had to destroy the kalim. It's obviously you can't kosher, you know, so Chazal teach us that it's, you know, Yosemi de Dafiel de Olam. When it comes to clay cheres, the Easter doesn't leave the walls of the Kli Charis at all, at ever. So the Gemara, having brought this up, now touches on a tanur, and we'll assume right now in the Havamina, the tanur is also an earthenware oven. Tanur is an oven. So an earthenware oven. Nothing to do with Pesach, though. Hahu tanura tetahu beiti chaya. There was a tanur, an oven, and they smeared it with fat. It means fat from the tail of an animal. Kosher fat, but they wanted to fry bread in it. He says, Asra Rava Bar Eloi, Lamechla Lerifta. So Rava Bar Eloi asred eating any bread that was cooked in that oven. He says, Afilu Bimilcha, even to eat the bread just with salt. In other words, like when you're eating the bread with nothing, nobody would eat the bread with zero. You'd have some salt, bread and salt, or bread and some, you know, liftin with it, but you wouldn't. But in those, even though you're just having the bread with nothing else with the meal, bread and salt, he asred it. And Leolam, and he asked it forever, meaning even after the oven has been fired up, cooked 5 different, you know, times over, still asked any bread cooked in there. Dilma atil mechle bekutcha, because he's afraid that you might come to eat the bread in kutach. Kutach is like a milchic dish, means like it's like the breadcrumbs with the milk concoction. So he's afraid, you know, milchus and fleishiks. All right, so that's that halacha. So we're gonna get into it. Now again, so we're afraid that the fat is gonna give a tam in the bread. So the Gemara says Meitve, on this we ask Kasha against Rav Bar Yilai from the following Braisa. The Braisa says in Lashin or Isa B'chalav, we don't need dough with milk. In other words, nothing to do with Pesach. I don't need dough with milk. Vimlash kula pat kula asura. If I do that, the whole bread is prohibited. I can't have a milchic bread. He says, because we're afraid it's going to lead people to do avera. They'll come to eat the bread with fleishiks. And he says, kiyotze bo, similarly, and then turn page, the top line in Amud Beis, ein tashin and atan or ba'alya. This is the part we need. You don't smear the oven with alya as the fatty tail of the sheep. It means, he says, bim tash, kula pat kula asura. If you did that, so any bread that's cooked is prohibited. So far, so good. Ad shesikat atanur, until you fire up the oven. Meaning that once you fire up the oven, you're kashering the oven, and now you can cook bread there. So again, so Rav Bar Yilai said, you know, once I've smeared it with this fat, so I can never eat bread that's cooked in it, because every bread has got like someone like the fleishiks in it, And here we spoke about in the Braisa that if I smeared the oven with fat, so the bread is prohibited until I fire up the oven. Once I fire up the oven's getting kashered in essence. So the Gemara says, ha husak tanur mi ishari. So if the oven has been fired up, then it's permissible. So the Gemara says, tiyufta de Rav Bar Yilai tiyufta. So Rav Bar Yilai is upgeschlacht. So let's take a look for a second. So let's take a look at the top line in Rashi. Me'achar tota. Oh no, we didn't do this yet. Let me go further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, line 4. So Amarle Ravina l'Ravashi, v'chi me'achar tota Rava Bar Yilai. So once Rava Bar Yilai has been all schlugged up, amai ka'ama Rav k'tiru Pesach yishavru. So why does Rav say? In other words, the Gemara entertains the possibility that you could kasher kli cheres. That's what the Gemara is taking. The Gemara assumes that the oven was an earthenware oven, and the Braisa says, once I heat it up, I'm okay. So I heat it up because I'm kashering it. So the Gemara is asking, if I can kasher kli cheres in earthenware vessels, so why did Rav say before you have to break them, because you can't kasher them? Okay, so the Gemara says, Amrli Ravina Ravashi, v'chim yachar titotav Rav Bar Yilai, amai kama Rav k'tir Pesach yishavru. Why did Rav say that you have to break the pots when Pesach comes? Amrli, hatam tanu shomatechet, hacha b'k'tirot shel cheres. So the first answer is, the oven was not an earthenware oven. Yeah, or Rav would understand it this way. Rav would understand the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a metal oven. So metal oven, everybody agrees that I can kasher. Whereas Rav was talking about earthenware pots, and earthenware pots I can't kasher. That's the first answer. The ibaidim, or else I could say haba haba shalcheres, or else I could say they were both earthenware. Rav is talking about earthenware pots, and it is an earthenware oven. He says zeh haseken mibeftim, v'zeh haseken mibechutz. In other words, usually kasher something in the same fashion that the cooking was. Like Chazal teach us. Kibolo kach polto. The way somebody absorbs something, that's the way it emits something. So with the oven, I cook on the inside of the oven, but the heat source is from the inside of the oven. So I'm going to heat it up on the inside of the oven. So it's where the food is. That's the part that's getting kashered. In other words, where the grease was, where the fat was. But with these pots, so the heat source, I usually heat it on the outside. That's the way I cook with the pot. So maybe I can't kasher the inside when the heat source is on the outside, right? Okay, so let's take a look back on the Gemara. He says, v'chitema hakanami la'avi le'hasaka mibifnim. So if that's the case, so we have a simple solution. We'll heat the pots on the inside of the pot. Then we'll be able to kasher them. That's what we're saying, right? If I heat the oven on the inside so I can kasher it, so I'll heat the pot, the earthenware pot, on the inside, and then I'll kasher it. So he says, Chayisalei Mishum Depaka. So Rav didn't want to tell people to do that because he was afraid that people would heat it up on the outside because they'd be afraid that it would break, it would crack if they heat it up on the inside. I guess the outside is more impervious to heat than the inside. So the so let's look at the Rashi on that. On the first narrow line, Chayisalaihu, V'isharit le'aydei hesek p'nim, if you give them, Rav was concerned if I permit people to kasher the pots by heating it up on the inside of the pot, Mora heteira b'samecha hesek b'chut. So people, you know, will make their own rulings and they'll say, oh, what's the difference whether I heat it up on the inside, heat it up on the outside? I'm afraid the pot's going to crack. Okay, so let me just do 2-3 more lines and I'll pause. So we're on 10 lines down on Lamed Amud Beis. So hai buchya. So the Gemara says buchya are these like these tile rings. In other words, it's like rings, and I cook on the inside of the rings, but I heat them up on the outside. So hai buchya hesekum ibachutzu va'asur. So if I have these tile rings that I'm using for cooking purposes, and I, you know, smear the fat on the inside of them, so then that's asur because there's no way for me to kasher it. V'imalya gumrei shapir dami. But if I fill the rings with coals, so then it's permissible. So here, apparently, with the rings, I guess they weren't afraid it would be cracking or things like that. But he wants to say if the heat source is coming from the inside, we're okay. All right, let's just pause for a second and digest what we learned. So the basic idea we learned is that you can't kasher or klicheres is very problematical in terms of kashering. It's eno yosemi de dafio liolam. The Easter doesn't leave the walls of the klicheres. But the Gemara here said that if the heat source and the food were on the same side, that there was a way to heat it up, right? With the oven, there is a way to kasher klicheres, but it wasn't shaykh by the pots because they'd have to heat it up on the inside, and Rob didn't want to tell them they could do that because he was afraid that they wouldn't do it and because they would crack the pots on the inside. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
This may be more of a chulin question, but when we were talking about the alia can't be made with the bread, and we fancy people today have two ovens, one for fleishik, one for milchik. How did they deal with the one oven phenomenon?
You mean in terms of cooking? You mean in kashrut, you mean?
In terms of cooking, I mean, we have a microwave, like you could do hagala, but if you make something fleishik in an oven,
right?
Then right. What's the deal with you want to make milchik in there?
Yeah, so I don't know what they did Bizman Chazal with their ovens in terms of milchis and fleishik. I know Halach L'maisa today, so they say, like, you know, the oven should be either fleishik or milchik, and then the other one, in other words, the problem with the oven is more zeya. The problem with the oven is more the moisture.
What it emits.
That's coming up. That's really the problem with it. So if, let's say, the oven is fleishik, so if you cook something dairy in it, you should cover the dairy object so it shouldn't be exposed, like the moisture shouldn't go up and hit the walls and then come back down. That's the way we do it today. But I don't know what they did Bizman Chazal. I'm not sure their ovens were the same as the way our ovens. Their ovens were open, so I don't know where that would. I don't know if that would be. I don't know. Let me try and ask around. Okay, all right. Who, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Anything we did? All right. Let's go further. All right. Let's keep further. Okay, let me just check.
If you cover something milchik in a fleishik oven, does it have to be after a certain amount of time?
No, what do you mean? From the get-go, it should be covered.
No, in other words, you can't make a turkey. Can you make a turkey and some cheese dish at the same time?
No.
It has to be separate.
Yeah, right.
But if I finish with the turkey, I can do the cheese right away? If I cover it?
Right. All right. Now.
But you can't make the cheese the sauce for the turkey.
All right. Let me just check one thing here now.
I can't even imagine the cheese.
All right. Let's go further. Now, Okay, now we're up to
Amelie. It'll be cheese parmesan.
Okay. Please, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to mute everybody. Okay. All right. Now, so the Gemara says, Amelie Ravina Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Hani Sakine de Pisqua means I have knives that are chametz knives, but I want to use them on Pesach. How do I kasher my knives for Pesach? He says, Heichi Avdin Lehu. What do we do the knives to kasher them? So this is Ravina speaking to Ravashi. So Amar Lei, Ladidi Charato Ka Avdinan. He says, for me, you know, we make new knives. We get new knives for Pesach. So he says, Amar Lei, Tenach Mar De Efshar Lei. So you're wealthy. Sure, you have the new knives, of course. He says, Delo Efshar Lei Mai. What about a person who can't afford new knives for Pesach? What do they do? So he says, Amar Lei, Anan Ke'en Charato Ka Mina. He says, no, when I said new, I meant it's like new. Katayhu Bettina. In other words, we covered their handles with clay. We're going to see it's protected from the fire. He says, Upar Zalayu Benura. And then the iron part, we stick in the fire. We stick it in the fire. He says, Bahadar Mayalala Katayu Barodchi. And then afterwards, we stick the handle in the boiling water. We stick the handle in the boiling water. Now, again, the idea is, you know, Kabolo Kachpolto. So the way that the object is used, that's the way it should be koshered. So the knife presumably was used in cooking, exposed directly to the flame. So that's why the koshering is going to be in the same fashion. I'm going to kosher it in the flame. The handle presumably didn't go into the flame, but maybe when they were handling and, you know, mixing something with boiling water or something like that, the handle got wet or something like that. That's the way he's doing it. The hilchata, but the halacha is, the lacha is that both the metal and the handle can be boiled in boiling water, hagala uvikli rishon, a kli that's on the stove. In other words, on the stove itself. Kli rishon is the on the flame. In other words, the pot that's on the flame. So the question is, so what happened kabolo kachpolto? So there's a couple of answers. So one answer they have is it could be there's obviously a leniency because, in other words, the knife is being used, we said, in the flame itself, and it's getting me koshered with hagala, which is like a step down. So one hesber is that when it comes to chametz, we have the kul of heter bala. In other words, at the time that it absorbed the quote-unquote isur, it was really heter. In other words, when the knife was being used, it's absorbing chametz, but chametz was permissible at that time. So that's more of a kula in terms of koshering. Or there's another another hesber which is given, and that's rove tashmisho. What was the main use of it? So even though, and it's a question, is machloket rishonim whether it means even if I know that it was used sometimes in the main flame or I don't know it was used in the main flame, but if most of its tashmish was used in boiling, so according to some, even if some of the tashmish was on the fire, I can go with rove tashmish and do it that way. All right. So those are the stadim for heter. So he says over here that we're gonna do it all in boiling water. Okay, v'hilchata idiv idiv barodchin of chli roshon. That's the halacha l'maisa. Now, Amrav Huna b'reidu Yeshua. All right, let me pause for a second. Anybody got any questions about what we just did? Everybody good?
Can you repeat the first answer?
The first answer was that when it comes to chametz, so I'll say hetera bala. And there was this difference between, let's say I'm like the knife was used to cook chazer, so it's Easter bala. When the knife was used for chametz, so it was used for chametz not during Pesach, it was used for chametz during the year. So then there's more of a kula because hetera bala, it absorbed that which was mutar.
So you could do hagala for anything then?
So that would mean, right, according to that sod, you could do hagala for anything, right?
Got it.
All right. Now, again, any chametz, you mean? Other isur?
Yes. I'm talking about chametz.
Okay. So now, one line below the base. Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, Eitz Parur Magila Barodchin Ubikli Rishon. Eitz Parur is like a wooden mixing spoon. So I do hagala is when you immerse something in boiling water, and kli rishon is the keli that's on the fire itself. Kisavar kabolo kachpolto, because he holds, like the way it absorbs, that's the way it will emit it. Okay, baumi name, now it should be mimreimar. Baumi name mimreimar, hani mani de kunya. Mani Dekunya is an earthenware vessel, and the way Rashi learns, though, it's glazed over with lead. It has a lead glaze over it. He says, obviously, not by today's standards, they wouldn't do it for health reasons, but Hani Mani Dekunya, can they be used? Can those kalim be used on Pesach? So the Gemara says, Yaroka loti bailach tabade asire. So Yaroka, the green ones, in other words, where the earthenware is green, it's very absorbent. So that we can't do. Kiti bailach ukme vechivre mai. But he wants the black and the white, you know, earthenware vessels, but they're covered with the lead, mai. Where there are cracks, certainly it's prohibited. Where it's smooth. So the key is, in other words, I know that the earthenware, it absorbs, but different earthenware absorbs differently. But now it has this lead glaze over it. So maybe that changes the whole situation. So Amar Lei, so he said, Chazin Lahu Dimidaiti. I've seen them that they like midaiti is like to perspire. It's like from Zaya, like perspire. And things come out of it, like he says here, Alma Bali Vasire. So you see that they absorb it. He says, and then we're going to add the Bach here. He says, my taima, so the Torah testifies concerning Kli Cheres that nothing leaves its walls forever. Now, the Gemara says, why is that different? Now, let me pause for a second with this thing. Now, when it comes to Kli Cheres, so the only thing we saw is we saw that there was a heter to clean the oven that way. So some want to say that if you have Hachzara Lekibshan, if the kalim are put back in like the oven, like the way that they're made, that could be a path to kasher it. And then he quotes over here. Now he this is from the Daf Yomi Digest. Is the Mishnah Berurah follows Shisha Pinei Rashi? Even lead covered vessels cannot be made kosher. It's not a kosher substance penetrates the earthenware beneath the lead covering. Porcelain is not classified as being covered by glass. Porcelain is not classified as being covered by glass, but most folks can maintain that it cannot be koshered. Mishbur concurs with this ruling. Now, when Bali Tshuva have porcelain cooking pots that have not been used for a year and have previously been used for non-kosher food, in a case of great financial loss, Ramosh Feinstein rules that one can be lenient and submerge the vessels in boiling hot water 3 times in order to kosher them. In other words, he's saying if you wait 12 months and then stick them in water 3 times, that's a way to kosher it. But he's saying, like, for Bali Tshuva, like, you know, it's like they're not going to become Bali Tshuva if they can't kosher their porcelain, you know. So if it's like Sorech, like, you know, it's big Sorech, and they were keeping Trafus to permit it under those circumstances, like they have a way to kosher the porcelain, okay?
All right, now, would you eat on those dishes? Are we allowed to eat on those dishes?
I don't know. You ask your local competent Orthodox rabbi. I don't know what to tell you with this.
I always had a question about the 12-month issue because it's never 12 months because you had it on the last day of Pesach. So
No. We're not talking about Pesach here. We're talking about a person who doesn't eat kosher. So he's eating chazer, and now he becomes Baal
Shem. Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Okay.
But also with Pesach, isn't the halacha if you haven't used something for 12 months, something about the 12-month issue, you leave it and it's...
Again, when it comes to Kli Cheres, it's the same issue. It's the same issue with Kli Cheres. All right.
But with Pesach, you don't have 12 months because you always have used it on Pesach.
Again, you mean just Stam? You mean he's saying like
the Brachts people have that issue.
Well,
they use it.
He's saying over here that if you have a Kli Cheres and it hasn't been used in 12 months and you do Haggalah 3 times. Then that's a method to kosher it. That's what Ramosh is saying.
Right.
Pesach.
You never have a full 12 months if you use it on Pesach.
I understand why. Well, tell me what the case is.
If you're saying that I can use a Kli Cheres.
It could be a Shana Meuberet, though.
I don't understand. Do you use the Kli Cheres for Chametz or for
Pesach? Yeah, Chametz.
For Chametz. Okay, use it for Chametz, and what happened?
And now I left it. So I use it. Now I left it for 12 months. I didn't do anything with it. Like after
that, that's totally with this question. But Ramosha was only matir, like with like it sounds like whether it would be a hefsed meruba, a big financial loss, okay. And they were balei tshuva. So other cases, I don't know. Okay. All right. Let's see back further in the Gemara. All right. Now, let's take a look. Okay. Now the Gemara says we're around 8 lines above where it gets wide. Now, why is this different by Yayin Nesach? Now, it's going to be clear from the Gemara, we're talking about an Iser Derabanan. So Yayin Nesach is wine that's been used for Avodah Zarah. That would be Iser Deraisa. So it must be the Gemara speaking about Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is wine that's owned by a non-Jew, and a Jew is not allowed to have it on a rabbinic level. Okay? So Maishna Linin Yayin Nesach, the Darish Mremar, Mani Dekunya, Ben Ukma, Ben Chivri, Ben Yeruke Shari. So there, Maremar says, if you have these earthenware vessels, Mari de Kunya, and it was glazed over, whether they're the white, the black, or the green, they're permissible. In other words, the goy used it for his non-kosher wine, so it's permissible. So he says, V'chitema yayin neset rabbanan chametz deraita. Maybe you say, look, yayin neset in rabbanan. Chametz, that's an Easter deraisa. He says, now, the Bacha is the word, Vaha, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came to write the Tikkun. Whatever the Chachamim established, they always follow the pattern of the Torah. So, Amar Lay, so the, this is, who was speaking to who here? This is Ravina Ravashi. Who was speaking to who? One second, what was it? This was still Ravina Ravashi.
Maremar was in there.
Yeah, Maremar. Okay, where was Maremar? Yeah. Right, they asked Maremar, right. So Tamidim were asking Maremar. So he says, Amar Lay, but Amar Lay would be one person speaking to another person. One second, let me just see. What does he have here? Amar Lay, Maremar answers. Yeah, but it's interesting, this is Baal Mine, plural before, and here it's like singular. All right, so Maremar is saying, Amar Lay, Zet Tashmishoy De Chamin, when we're talking about using the Chametz dishes for Pesach, it was things that used with hot. He says, Zet Tashmishoy De Tzonein, whereas the wine is cold, so that's the difference. In other words, they have a cold vessel, it's being used cold, so then it's not so hard to kosher. So Amar Rav Bar Abba, Amar Rav Chia Bar Ash, Amar Shmuel, Kol Kenish Neshtam Shubahen, Chametz Bitzonein, if I have a keli that was used chametz only cold, so he says, Meshtamish Bahen Matzah, so I can use it for matzah. He says, Chutz Min Beit Seor, except for Beit Seor is the holding vessel for like the sourdough. Hol shechimu so kasha, because like the fermentation process is very intense. So I don't know, a lot happening or powerful taste going out of it. So that even though it's used cold, I'm not heating it up, that I can't use for Pesach. But if a vessel is used for chametz just with cold, so I could use it for Pesach. So Amar Rav Ashi, Ubei Charoset Kibei Seor Shechim Usok Kasha Dami. Rav Ashi says, Ubei Charoset means a dish or that was used like for a sharp condiment, like mustard is very sharp, things that are very sharp. So he says, that's like the Beit Seor, like the sourdough. So Amar Rava, Hari Adnei de Mechuzah, these like mixing bowls and Mechuzah, so the women are used to kneading the sourdough in it, and they leave the sourdough in it. It's kibet seor shechim usok kasha dami. That's like the beit seor. The beit seor was the holding dish for the sourdough. So the women are kneading the sourdough, and they leave it there for a while. It's like the same thing. Pshita, the Gemara says, obvious. Came into Ravicha Shalbu Avira. I think there's a lot of room in the trough or the mixing bowl, so maybe it's like there's air, so it's not as intense. Below Bali, Kamashwalan. No, I have a problem with that as well. Okay. All right. Let me do a few more lines. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? All right. Let me do the next Mishnah, the next piece of Gemara, and then we'll, and then a lot of serious looking people here. Okay. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Manitin, Nachri Shilvat Yisrael Chemtso. So if the goy is lending money to the Jew, and he's taking it's like the mashkel, and the collateral is the Jew's chametz. Achar Pesach Mutar Banan. In other words, the Jew has, let's say, 30 barrels of beer, and he borrows money from the non-Jew, and he leaves the 30 barrels of beer with the non-Jew as security for his loan. So he says, so after Pesach, it's mutar bahana. After Pesach, those barrels are permissible in hana. Now, the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to get into the details on how that works, but it's going to be that the Jew says, if I default on this loan, so these barrels belong to you as of today. That's what he's saying. And then he defaults on the loan. So then it emerged that the beer was really owned by the non-Jew during Pesach. The Yisrael shelhova et nachri al chemso, if a Jew lent money to a non-Jew and taking security for loan, the non-Jew's chametz, and it means in each instance the lender is taking the chametz on his rishus. The chametz is with the Jew. Achar Pesach aser bana. So after Pesach, you can't get a nod from that chametz. Because it's going to come out that the Jew really owned the chametz during Pesach. That's the way it's going to come out. All right, let's take a look at the Gemara.
In the second case, you also defaulted on the loan?
Say, repeat again.
In the second case.
In each case, the debtor defaulted, right? In each case, the debtor defaulted. Okay.
How can he do that in the face of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh?
I don't know if he did the right thing with that. In other words, maybe he couldn't do it, but he did it. That's the question, okay? So now, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Itmar Bal Chov. Now we're going to connect the din of Bal Chov and subject to connection with our Mishnah. So Bal Chov is a creditor. It's interesting. Bal Chov is sometimes a debtor also, but here in the Gemara it's a creditor. There's some terms that can, you know, flip over and mean two different things. I think the word Bal Nefesh is also that way. Like Bal Nefesh can mean like a very virtuous person. Or I think Bal Nefesh can sometimes be like a glutton, could also be a Bal Nefesh. All right, anyway, so let's take a look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Bal Chov, Abaye Mar Mafreyu Gove. Abaye says he's considered to have collected his debt retroactively, meaning if somebody lends money, Reuven lends money to Shimon, and there's security involved, when do I say the title of security passed to Reuven? In other words, Reuven lends money to Shimon on February the 1st, and then... the money is due March the 1st. And then March the 1st, Shimon defaults on the loan. And then Reuven takes title to the security. So we view Reuven as the old owner from March 1st or from February the 1st. So Itmar, Bal Chov, Abaye Mar L'Mafreyu Gove, Rava Mar L'Mikan L'Haba Hu Gove. Rava says, no, it's going from the Mar example, March 1st. So the Gemara says, Kol Heicha De'Akdish Lova, V'Zavin Lova. So where the Lova took the security, and he got generous with it. He was makdish it to the Beis Hamikdash, or he sold it. Kuliyamalo pligi daati malva v'tarif. So everybody agrees that in the second case, the malva can come and seize it from lekuchot. In other words, seizing the property if Shimon defaults on the debt. Lamed aleph lamed aleph on the top line. Va'ati malva uparik. And similarly, the malva can go to the Beis Hamikdash and redeem the hekdesh, redeem the property from hekdesh by giving a token amount. He's got to give something so people don't think that property can leave hekdesh without pidyon, but he'll pay a pittance to get the whole security out from the Beis Hamikdash. Ditnan, because we learned the Mishnah Masechet Erechin, Mosif o dinar poted on a chasima elu. He'll add one dinar and get the property out. He says, ki pligi, but the machloket between Abaye and Rava is the zavin malva v'kaddish malva, is where the creditor sold the property, or the creditor was makdish the property. Abaye Mar and Mafreyu Gove. So Abaye says, like, in other words, did he even own the property, you know, when he sold it or when he was makdish it? In other words, so the loan took place on February the 1st. And then on February the 15th, the creditor is makdish the security. And then on March the 1st, the debtor defaults on the loan. So is that an effective sale? Is that an effective, you know, declaration of hekdesh that the creditor did on February the 15th? So the Gemara says, Abaye Mar L'Mafreyu Gove. Abaye says that retroactively he's viewed as the owner of the property. Came into Matizmani V'lo Pare. Since the time the loan was due on March the 1st, and on March the 1st, Shimon didn't pay it back, he says, Igloi milt l'mafrei to be kar b'shuta havakoi. So then it's revealed that retroactively, it was always his property going back to February the 1st, the creditors, v'shapir akdesh, v'shapir zabin. So he did a good act of declaring to be hekdesh and a valid act of selling it. V'rava amar mikan l'habu gove. Rava holds, no, he can only you know, exercise, you know, the right to sell and to be makdish it after March the 1st. Since if Shimon had money, he would give the money to him and say goodbye to Reuven. He says, so it comes out that in essence, the creditor only acquires title to it on March 1st. Okay, so we'll discuss that part a little bit more tomorrow, but you could see how it's going to relate to our Chametz BePesach thing. All right, let me just do a little story and then, or let me just do a story and a halachic thing. And first, are there any questions on anything we did so far? All right. Now, before I tell the story, which Michael usually doesn't like, there's a halachic piece from the Morota Daf Yomi. They talk about drinking water from the Kinneret. The Kinneret is the Sea of Galilee during Pesach. And he says, like, let's say you have Jews who are eating chametz and they pour some beer into the Sea of Galilee or a few crumbs of chametz in the Sea of Galilee. So the question is, we said that chametz is aster with a mashahu. Any drop asters the whole mixture. So if any drop asters the whole mixture, apparently the water in the Sea of Galilee, I don't know, I was there, I don't remember being quite that clean, but apparently this, the water in the Sea of Galilee, like you could drink it. I don't know, anybody want to weigh in on that? Michael, any, have you been up to the Kinneret? All right, but anyway, but the thing is, how can you, in other words, if it's a mashahu, so what is it going to do to our you know, water supply if there's a chashash, the chametz gets into it? Anyway, he has all the richas here, but at the end of the day, he's got two kulas with it. The Stei Chemed brings down that the Chachamim weren't. So again, the Chachamim have this gzeira that it's aser b'mashahu with any small infinitesimal amount. So you had asked this originally earlier, Fern, right? So so one reason is that it's davar sheish lamatirin. It's something that will become permissible. So that's why it's aser, you know, even the elef lo batil. Another explanation he gives from the Rush, he says that a person is accustomed to being around chametz the whole year. So therefore, in order to, like, you know, sensitize you to chametz, so we have to, you know, strengthen out all the Yisurim. As opposed to Chazer, I always stay away from Chazer the whole year round. Anyway, so what's happening with my water supply? So he's got two coolers. One is from the Stei Chemed. He brings down that Chametz Warren goes there if there's no possibility whatsoever that the Chametz would ever give Tom in the water. In other words, there's, like, you know, 50 million gallons of water. That's a different category. Or another possible heter is from the Shas Chus Avin Nezer. He says when they were metakein that it's a mashahu, they told me about, like, if it's mayim that's not mechubar lekarka, it's in a kli. But mayim which is mechubar to the karka, they didn't make such a gezeira. But the chalkas Yoav is cholik with that. All right. Anyway, let me just do a story and that'll be it. Now, the custom for many years has been for Jews to buy chametz from non-Jew immediately after Pesach. It's a famous story about how the Gentiles of Prague tries to use this opportunity to wipe out the Jewish community there. The bakers of the town, incited by the local priest, decided that since all the Jews would be buying their bread from them after Pesach, it was a perfect opportunity to rid themselves of them by poisoning all loaves baked for that day. So they're poisoning all the chametz for the Jews in the city of Prague. He says their plot was revealed to the notable Yehuda, that's Rabbi Cheskel Landau, who lived in the 18th century, then Rav of Prague, by a young man whom he had helped years earlier. Recognizing the importance of his information, he really called a meeting of town leaders to look for a way out of this dilemma. It was decided that the only way to be sure that no one would eat from the bread would be for the Rav to prohibit it. That night after davening, the Rav informed all the townspeople that a terrible mistake had been made, that Pesach actually fell that year, one day later than was previously calculated. The townspeople, although shocked by the news, would not dare argue with the Rav. No one ate from the bread the next day, and they were thus spared from an awful fate. The only thing I don't understand is what about, like, putting on tefillin and everything else the next day? How did they do it? But that's the story. Okay, let me end the recording.